This evening I want to talk about commitment to Christ. Many of my lessons come from personal experiences, and this is no different than a lot of my other lessons, you know. We all have trials and struggles in our life, and I have my own too. And at one point, you know, they seem to drag on me a little bit. And so I questioned my commitment to Christ in those times that I was going through, the trials that I was going through at that time. And I wondered where I was at, you know, and what I was doing. So this lesson come up, and hopefully it will cause you to reflect on your own commitment to Christ and where you are in your life right now. Right now where you are. The decisions that you make. To begin my lesson, I read where a young man was flying home from Desert Storm. He'd been over there about a year, and he sat down beside a lady who was an author, and she asked him, you know, where he had been, how long he'd been over there, and where he was going, you know, and he answered those questions. You know, he'd been there a year at Desert Storm. He's going home. And she said, I bet you thought about that a lot while you was gone. And his answer, I think, reflects where we need to be. He said, I was taught never to think about things that might not be. I was taught to not think about things that might never be. And he said, I was taught to be fully available where I was. And so that's the question this morning. Are you fully available to Christ where you are? Fully available. If not, you need to make some changes, guys. Because you need to be fully available to Christ in your life. At all times, wherever you are. Commitment comes from Latin origin of that word. It means to bind together. And as a child of God, when you're obedient to the Word of God, to the Gospel, you bind your life to Christ. You are bound to Him. That is what you have done. You have bound your life to Christ. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, and if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. So this refers to the strength that we would get by binding ourselves to another person or an entity, like we're binding ourselves to Christ. We're going to be stronger because of it. Because of binding ourselves to Christ, we'll be stronger. Your thoughts will be on God's Word and the principles of His teachings. If you are bound to Christ, that's what your thoughts will dwell on. If your thoughts are not consumed with God's Word and the principles of His teachings, then you might question your full commitment to God or to Christ. In John chapter 9, we're going to read about a man that Jesus healed of his blindness, okay? And there's going to be a lot of reading here. It says in verses 24 through 29, then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? Now for a minute, we're going to stop there. This man did not know much, okay? But he knew what he received. The healing of his sight. When you become a child of God, you may not know much, but you should know and acknowledge what you have received in forgiveness of sins and salvation of your soul. You ought to know that. And continuing on in that reading, he said, he answered them, I have told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. Now in the youth of his commitment, we see him already getting interrogated about this happening or this belief in something that he did not know fully understand. But he knew what he had received of him. And so he defended himself to the best he could. Continuing on there, it says, "The man answered and said to them, while hearing is a marvelous thing that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out." Now I want you to reflect on this. This guy was early in his belief, or his kind of, that's where I'm putting us, you know, early in your belief. You know, a constant drum that was beating against your commitment or your belief in Christ. That's where this man was at. The Pharisees, the scribes, were a constant drum in the life of Christ. They were that constant drum that beat against him and all those who would name the name of Christ. Now, society tells us today, you don't know what you think you know. In many ways, they tell us that. We got this creation out of mass chaos that became organized over time. Jesus was a good man. He wasn't the Christ. He was a good man with good teachings and good principles. They tell us stuff like that. About 2 years ago, when I got this lesson together, you know, at that time they were writing about, and I don't watch this show, but they was writing about Phil Robertson, you know, the Duck Dynasty thing. But anyway, they berated him on several of his comments, you know, and basically that the guy that was conducting that interview said, if you believe in the Bible and its teachings, you are a bigot. Okay? So in light of all that, I want you to know God and Christ wants us to be committed. Wants us to. They demand our commitment. And yet we have this constant drum that beats against us. In verses 34 through 37 in John 9, it says, "They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." One thing that we need to understand, at the root of our commitment, it's not just simply belief. We must believe. But at the root of our commitment and the strength of our commitment will be our love. So that's a very simple question. Do you love Christ? Do you love him? You know, if you love something or someone, you're going to be committed to that. You're going to defend that. You're going to stand up for that. You're going to take heat for them. All because of this love that you have. In that reading a while ago, we saw rejection. One of the reasons that we would waver, or I would waver, rejection. Being called a bigot. Self-righteous hypocrite. Y'all ever had that happen? Those things, those words, those actions will cause us to waver in our commitment to Christ. Maybe not completely step away, but try to hide behind somebody or something. In Matthew chapter 16, we're going to talk about Peter, who I use as an example for many things, okay? But we're going to talk about Peter and use him as our example about commitment. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 through 17, it says, "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now this statement alone at the early youth of Peter's faith, you know, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That is something that he is going to deny shortly, in just a short time. He is going to deny that verbally. He didn't know him. At this time, he knows him. Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. So we're going to go on about Peter's commitment. From that time forth, in Matthew 16, verses 21 through 23, Jesus began to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Now Peter, once more, is a bold and confident person at this time. I'm not going to allow these things to happen to you. Just not going to do it. In verses 31 through 34 in Matthew 26, it says, Then saith Jesus unto them all, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Do you see Peter, in his confidence, in his boldness, making this statement, Though all other men deny you, I will never deny you. In verses 69 through 75 of Matthew 26, it says, Peter sat without in a palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out in the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou also wast one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man, and immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Where was his commitment? He went from saying, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, to saying, I know not the man. To curse and to swear, I don't know the man. Where did his commitment go? Perhaps you don't go that far, but you need to question your commitment when you don't stand up and take your place. In John chapter 21 and verse 3, this is on the other side of the cross. They have already seen the resurrected Savior. They had already seen him. John 21 and verse 3 says, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered in a ship, and immediately, and that night they caught nothing. What does that statement say? I go a-fishing. It's over with. Our Savior's gone. The plans that we had laid are for nothing. It's over with. How often do you find yourself in that situation, or you see someone in that situation? Great confidence. They name the name of Christ, obedient to the gospel, seemingly excited about things going on in their life, and then they only for them to go back to where they were. Back to where they were. Maybe they don't leave the building, but they never grow. Where is their commitment now? John 21, verses 15 through 17. says, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, you know, Jesus comes to them, okay? Tells them to cast their net over there and they catch fish. As they're going back, John said, it's the Lord. And Peter dives into the water and swims over there to the shore. He couldn't wait till the boat got to the shore. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him again the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. I want you to put yourself in the shoes of Peter at this time, as I did in my trials and tribulations. Imagine the guilt that he felt when he faced Jesus Christ across that fire after eating. Imagine the guilt that he felt as Jesus seemingly interrogated him. Lovest thou me more than these? Do you believe it's reasonable for Christ to demand your commitment? To ask you to answer that question, do you love me? Of course it's reasonable. It's more than reasonable of Christ. He went to the cross. He died and shed his blood. That's not an unreasonable question. Do you love me more than these? We're not going to turn over there, but in John chapter 15, that chapter kind of goes through and talks about Jesus saying, apart from me, ye can do nothing. Apart from me, ye can do nothing. And that's where Peter was. He had separated himself on that night that he denied Christ three times. He had separated himself. Lost all hope, purpose, and direction because his plans had come to nothing. His commitment had wavered. He had failed. Now I want you to think about some of the things in your life as I did mine when I was putting this lesson together. Some of the things that you've allowed to cause your faith or your commitment to Christ to waver or collapse even. You know, things such as unhappiness, maybe not getting paid for a job. You know, there's no money in your life. These things can cause you to, your commitment to waver to Christ. Peter had lost his connection and he knew that he had failed Christ. And he began to act like it. And that's exactly what will happen to you. At first, you're going to let those things drag you down. And then your actions are going to start supporting what's in your mind. You're not going to do what you're called to do. Glorify God. Be a service person to your brothers and sisters in Christ and to God himself. That's what will happen to you. You won't serve the Lord as you should. And so the simple question, do you love Christ? That question not only deserves an answer, but it demands that you answer that question. It demands it. In 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 22, the Apostle Paul wrote, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema maranatha. Sorry about that, Sean. Let him be accursed. Does that say that he demands an answer? Yes, it does. In Luke chapter 14 and verse 26, it says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. I don't want to focus on the first part of that, but it's the last few words. He cannot be my disciple. In the verse 33, and in between there all, it talks about this. But in verse 33, it says, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. It doesn't make you yes or no. I mean, it doesn't make you a good or bad disciple. It makes you yes or no. Yes or no. Does it make you a second-rate disciple if you're not committed to Christ completely? It makes you yes or no. Thinking back to John 21. And this questioning that Christ is doing to Peter across the fire. Said to Peter, lovest thou me more than these? And he said, you know I love you, Lord. Those words that are translated there in love is agapo or agape, agapo, and phileo. Okay? Agapo, I believe, Thayer will back me up on this, that is an action-packed word. That is a word of action. You know, it's a stronger word than phileo. Phileo is a fondness for, an emotional type love. Okay? And Jesus said, do you agapo me, Peter? And Peter says, I phileo you. I phileo you. Thinking back to that, God says, I love you totally, and I gave my son on the cross. And we say, if all goes well, then yea, God's good. We will pronounce our love for God at the drop of a hat. But if things are not going well, Jesus says, I am totally committed to you. I went to the cross when the world hated me. But we find when times are troublesome, maybe when we have to give something up, we find our commitment in question, wavering. Where is your commitment now? And your response to this question, do you love Christ? Your response to this love is, I'm fond of you, Lord. I'm fond of you. Christ called you to a much higher commitment, to a much higher commitment than just I'm fond of you. One that asks you to sacrifice your time, your energy, and your resources. No, it demands you sacrifice your time, your energy, and your resources. Why didn't Peter just use the same word? Yea, Lord, you know I agapo you. Why didn't he just say that? Because his actions had shown otherwise. Actions always speak louder than words. So if you stand up today and say and witness, you know, I love you, Lord, and we look at your life, what's your life say? What does your life say? Jesus said to Peter, prove it. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Before the cross, back in Luke chapter 22, verses 31 and 32, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And we find that borne out in Acts chapter 2 and verse 14. That prayer was answered on Peter's behalf. It says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 14, Peter standing up with the 11 lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of all Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken unto my words." He preached the first gospel sermon. And from here on we see him beaten, thrown in prison, never wavering in the service to God. Never wavering. So I want you to look at your life now. What do your actions show? If someone's looking at you, what do your actions show? Commitment to God, Christ? Does your service mirror those words of "I love you, Lord"? Does your service mirror your words of commitment? This evening, I want you to consider your commitment to Christ. I'm asking you tonight, this evening, to make that commitment to Christ and to make that a reality in your life.